the mundane sphere, and according to Athenaeus Graves, Zeus himself bestowed his favor upon the Terpsichorean art. Thus, the Gnosian dance is sacred to the Demiurgus, and also the Nician regarded as peculiar to Bacchus, revealed by their movements the various modes of the all-ruling principle. 1. Of the Pythagoreans composed a complicated measure by which he was able to interpret, with the aid of gestures, the whole body of Pythagorean lore and thus convey much of its esoteric meaning to the uninitiated. Aristotle classes dancing with the imitative arts, and Lucian calls it a science of imitation and exhibition which explained the conceptions of the mind, and certified to the organs of sense things naturally beyond their reach. Richard Payne Knight declares dancing to have been part of the ceremony of all mystic rites and that persons of exemplary gravity condescended to cultivate it as a useful and respectable accomplishment. He further notes that dancing, being entirely imitative, was esteemed as honorable as the subject it was intended to express. In his Anacalypsis, Godfrey Higgins advances the theory that the three great elements of primitive ritualism, music, poetry, and the dance, existed before the discovery of writing and were employed in the perpetuation of religious knowledge and historical records. Mr. Higgins deplores the invention of writing, declaring that the decline of pagan virtue was largely due to the wane of the interpretive arts, which were considered unnecessary when more exact methods of perpetuating knowledge were originated. The exploits of all ancient peoples were perpetuated by epic poems. In every community dwelt bards who had committed these lengthy narratives to memory and recited them at feasts and celebrations. Poetry is the rhythm of words, music the harmony of sounds, and the dance the harmony and rhythm of motion. These higher octaves of ordinary endeavor were reserved for the worship of the gods and to immortalize the deeds of heroes. After the invention of writing, the most important records were either carved into the surface of stone or engraved upon golden plates, thus deprived of their primal dignity. 370 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Ancient Mystery Rituals. 371. The interpretive arts became elements of amusement rather than instruction. Men loved the evident then as now, and it was easier to trace a motive in the written word than in some sad harmony or subtle gesture. The ancient poets lamented the decay of their resplendent ceremonials, ceasing to portray the beautiful in processional and pageantry, the Saturnalia and Bacchanalia degenerated into licentious orgies wherein all that was base and depraved became the theme of interpretive expression. In this state of perversion, the fine arts preserved with pomp and show the outward form from which the inner spirit had fled. Music and the dance were extensively employed in the initiatory rites of the ancient mysteries. Some of the inner secrets were also perpetuated in archaic meter. Entering upon the path leading to self-liberation, the neophyte found the way beset with rhythms of diverse kinds. Temptation rendered exquisite by a seductive tempo lured him from his austerities. The figures swaying about him in the gloom interpreted the candidate's every thought and feeling. Through the darkness of subterranean crypts resounded the mournful cadences of an infernal music. The rocks re-echoed the doleful sound until it seemed that all creation wept together. The miseries of unrighteous living, the inevitable anguish of uncurbed desire, the hopelessness of irrationality, all these and many other grave realizations were impressed upon the consciousness of the wandering neophyte. When from the dark chamber of earthly horror he passed into the abode of fire, the candidate beheld upon the altar before him a lurid and flickering flame whose eerie light cast vague specters upon the cavern walls. These Spectres seemed to dance to some fantastic measure ordered by the erratic fire. Then the music changed. The low monotony gave place to a slight, almost discordant consonance. The tones vibrated with a wild abandon, and invisible fingers strove to tear the human nature from the firm grasp of its will. Dim forms in crimson draperies blended their motions with the gyrations of the altar. Fire, bearing in their hands golden platters of grapes and with 372 lectures on Ancient philosophy. Vine leaves twisted in their hair, these houris of arithmetic dream besought the candidate to partake of their illusions. Half frenzied with the exotic harmonies, and holding his hands before his face, the searcher after the greater realities of life staggered from the chamber of desire, seeking escape from the haunting rhythms that sought to hold him to the sphere of sense. Again there was silence and darkness, but even the silence seemed to throb, and with brain still whirling the neophyte pressed on to find himself in another chamber lit with a strange twilight, which apparently coming from nowhere was diffused throughout the whole apartment. About the walls upon stone seats sat a row of grave and pensive figures like senators pondering the problems of the state. The music began again, this time soft and plaintive like a cry from the very depths of the soul. The faces of the silent assemblage were fixed in a melancholy stare, as though each man gazed into eternity but saw nothing. The invisible musicians continued their faint and tragic theme, which seemed to whisper that all was vanity, that life was a hopeless span, and that all these assembled thinkers thought in vain. The air was sodden with despair, disillusionment filled the cavern like some noxious fume, and in spite of himself the candidate bent his head before its insidious power. Slowly the circle of seated figures began to sway. Without rising they inclined their bodies and heads in unison. The silent but concerted motion breathed a hopeless negation which seemed to say, there is no use, life is a span of useless suffering, with birth and death, the inescapable tragedies of entrance and exit. If only one of these swaying figures would speak. Even though his words were prophetic of naught but ill, it would at least break the terrible tension. But no word was spoken. The disciple felt his courage slowly oozing from him as the chill of despair entered his soul. Barely able to stand, tormented by the wailing cadence, and half hypnotized by the measured swaying of the old man's heads, the neophyte staggered from the hall of learning back into the dark passageways of the labyrinth. Sobbing and Ancient Mystery Rituals 373. Unable to stand, he crawled along the stones, seeking some escape from that cold hopelessness which made all life appear useless and all effort vain. Once out of hearing of the music, his courage returned, and recovering his former poise he continued his quest for light. At last he reached the bottom of a flight of steps, and ascending them in the gloom came to two large doors with golden knobs, whereupon a voice bade him open them and enter. As the candidate swung the massive portals wide he was almost blinded by the shaft of light that struck his eyes, so long accustomed to somber shadows and gloom. At length his vision cleared and he found himself in a high-domed chamber brilliantly illumined by a massive globe of golden light placed in the center of the vaulted ceiling. The dome was supported by 12 pillars of varicolored marble, and the floor was a checkerboard design with alternate blocks of gold and ivory. In the center of this chamber upon a marble base stood the great veiled figure of the Mother of Mysteries, the Keeper of the Royal Secret. In a circle about the statue knelt 24 priests in flowing robes of white, whose inspired faces were turned upward in contemplation. contemplation and adoration of the great mystery. Again the or. Ches tral music began, but this time it was serene, triumphant, victorious. The anthem of praise echoed and re-echoed throughout the vaulted dome, and the 24 priests, as with but a single voice, sang praises to the seven-lettered one by whose graciousness the way of light had been established upon the earth. As the victorious mode thundered through the chamber, it caused the very walls to quiver. Overwhelmed by the solemnity of the spectacle, the neophyte fell to his knees in adoration of the power that, descending from heaven, had taken up its dwelling in the temple. Then from among the kneeling figures came forth one more glorious than all the rest, upon whose brow was a golden wreath and in whose hand was a great staff with hieroglyphic figures deeply carved into its surface. Gazing into the face of the hierophant, the neophyte could not but ask the question, "Is this great Zeus himself?" 374 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Taking the new initiate by the hand, the high priest opened a small door in the pedestal of Ceres' statue, and beckoning the youth to follow him, disappeared into the darkness. The secrets revealed in this inner room it is not lawful to disclose, for they are concerned with the spirit and the end of that long quest which is man's pilgrimage of life. Here the inner meanings of the rituals were revealed, here the purpose of symbol and allegory was made known, here the initiate learned why the great truths of life cannot be imparted by word alone, but must flow through the whole nature, to be sensed as a rhythm in the air, a gesture in the darkness, a power unseen. Here the robes of the mysteries were conferred, invested in the outer symbols of an inner power. The new initiate re-entered the great chamber to discover the priests, as though swayed by some mysterious power, encircling the statue with a motion expressive of grace and rhythm. The harmonies pervading the air could not be resisted, and the new initiate found himself a participant in the circumambulations of the sacred rite. He was moving to an exalted tempo and knew that the rhythm which flowed through his body was the same that moves the planets in their orbits and maintains all creation in its appointed place. The rituals of the mysteries were first fabricated by the priests in an effort to establish ceremonials which would reveal to the inner perceptions the principle of universal order. These ceremonials, however, gradually assumed an aspect so vast that they became the very backbone of the state. The mysteries made the gods seem very near to man. Prince and commoner alike feared the retribution of outraged deities and sought to propitiate by word and deed the celestial Kherit who were so proximate to them as to lend their presence to the mystic rites. It is difficult for us to conceive of a day when the gods walked with men, for in this generation the divinities have retired before the ridicule of a disbelieving world. But those who have lived in the Orient know what it means to be ever in the presence of the Shining Ones, for in India the immortals still wander the earth in disguise, and every mendicant may